Hello and good morning. I find myself so amused when I read about all these shenanigans that put men into a shameful picture. Have you ever heard of the so-called President's Club? Nope, me neither. But what a bizarre picture that turned out to be. These venerable men, yes, only men, who happen to be among the good and the great, getting together at no less an auspicious venue than the Dorchester Hotel in fashionable Park Lane in London. For your information, just in case you have the idea of spending a night there, the basic room costs somewhere between £300 and £400 a night. Well, this President's Club is where these great people, sorry, I mean men, get together. All have to be in bow tie, and their evening is one of drink and revelry, with girls employed for the occasion and whose contracts impose short, revealing outfits, high heels, and, wait for it, a non-disclosure clause in their contracts. That is, they are never allowed to describe anything about where they are or what is being done during that evening. Of course, it's not long before the secrets are out. And it's not long before the person who organizes these meetings, a certain David Meller, said he will not have anything to do with it anymore. Now, there was a minister in there, but he said he only stayed a little short time and left and didn't like what he saw. Well done. The problem is that it transpired that during these nights the men do some outrageous acts with a minimum of touching the girls and then escalating to groping and more, with news that one man at least exposed himself virtually completely. Well, what a lovely Sunday story I'm telling you, you may say. Very juicy, isn't it? But to be honest, I'm not amused. Indeed, I am disgusted. I suppose the majority of these men have wives, daughters, close family, and of course friends and acquaintances. What would bring them to do such things and to engage in such activities? And they are the men who act as our highest pillars of authority, whether state or industry or business. The story came out at the same time as that other story from across the Atlantic also appeared, and that was about the U.S. Olympic team doctor called Larry Nassar, who is sentenced to 175 years in prison as a result of many years of abuse to the girls training under his care. The girls employed for the President's Club are not innocent girls. They knew what they have signed up for. Some even are so-called high-class sex workers. They may have been lured by the promise of money and contacts, but this, to me, is no way to behave. However, the girls training for the Olympics are in a different situation. They are mostly innocent girls aspiring to the highest levels of performance within the innocent and totally legitimate competition of the Olympics. What they have been subjected to is nothing but vicious abuse, especially by a doctor whose oath and qualifying defies that behavior and who betrayed the trust in his professionalism so flagrantly and sustained over years. Of course, these stories are appearing every day now, and this makes me really pleased, not because we all enjoy hearing about a scandal or love to see others in trouble. No, it's because at least women are coming out with a very loud and clear message. Enough is enough. We will not have this anymore, they tell us, men. For such acts, the time is up. Of course, there will always be situations where relationships are forged, legitimately or illicitly. But there is a difference between a relationship that develops by mutual consent and not in any way under pain of superiority of the man or the use of authority or as a means for propagating a career. I am tempted to say that I do not condone any illicit activity or cheating of any kind, but I do not want to appear to be making the holier-than-thou statement. Jesus Christ taught us to hold on to our wives and to shun everything else for the sake of their happiness. Respect for our women is respect for ourselves and our society. Martin Luther King, in his first catechism, tells us, "For where they are allowed to do as they please, no good will result, as is even now evident, that the world is worse than it ever has been, and there is no government, no obedience, no fidelity, no faith, but only daring, unbridled men, whom no teaching or reproof helps, all of which is God's wrath and punishment for such wanton contempt of this commandment." In the Quran we read, "Therefore, when he has spoken to him, he said, 'Be assured this day thou art before our own presence, with rank firmly established and fidelity fully proved.'" That is, we must always feel that we are in God's presence and our fidelity has to be all the time proven. And finally, I quote Baha'u'llah, who tells us, "Wherefore, O my loved friends, consort with all the peoples, kindreds, and religions of the world with the utmost truthfulness, uprightness, faithfulness, kindliness, goodwill, and friendliness, that all the world of being may be filled with the holy ecstasy of the grace of Baha, that ignorance, enmity, hate, and rancor may vanish from the world, and the darkness of the estrangement amidst the people and kindreds of the world may give way to the light of unity. Should other peoples and nations be unfaithful to you, show your fidelity unto them. Should they be unjust towards you, show justice toward them. Should they keep aloof from you, attract them to yourself. Should they show their enmity, be friendly to them. Should they poison your lives, sweeten their souls. Should they inflict a wound upon you, be a salve to their sores. Such are the attributes of the sincere. Such are the attributes of the truthful." Goodbye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.